This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Xiaoning and Philip. Now, after many months of discussions, the amendments to the Employment Act were finally approved in the Dewan Rakyat this week. Some of the amendments to this act include the extension of paternity leave to 7 days and the increase in maternity leave to 98 days from 60 days. Pregnant workers will also be protected from being terminated by their workplace employers.
And as the world embraces more flexible work arrangements, employees will also be able to apply to adjust duration and location of work. Another change includes protection for the employees to leave work on time, as any employer who threatens, deceives or forces workers to do any type of work or prevents their workers from leaving their place of work can now be prosecuted. Now, these amendments will still need to be passed in the Senate before the government sets a date of enforcement. With this bill in place, is Malaysia heading in the right direction for workers' rights?
So for a better understanding of how this impacts us all, we speak to Donovan Chia, partner at Donovan & Ho. He also sits on the Malaysian Bar's Industrial and Employment Law Committee. Donovan, thanks very much for joining us today.
Hey, good morning.
Your reaction to the amendments? Do these amendments to the Employment Act provide adequate protection for all wage earners in Malaysia? Because there have been very confusing headlines explaining that it only covers workers who earn below 2,000 ringgit?
Yes, on paper, the amendment bill appears to cover only workers who are in the first schedule of the Act, which is typically those employees who earn below 2,000 ringgit a month, or those involved in manual labour, or those operating and maintaining vehicles, etc. So due to the way that the amendments were drafted, there have been some concerns that these amendments also end up taking away rights which were previously afforded to those who were earning above 2,000 ringgit. For example, in the earlier Employment Act, previously there were clauses that says the maternity leave protections and sexual harassment provisions apply to all employees regardless of the salary range. However, in these amendments, these clauses which say that the provisions apply to everyone, they have been deleted. So this has led some to be concerned that the amendments are taking away rights from those category of employees who are earning above 2,000 ringgit. But when the amendments to the Act were tabled for second reading in Dewan Rakyat a couple of days ago, it was mentioned that the intention is for these amendments to still apply to all employees, regardless of salary, but subject to certain conditions. So how this will be affected will be through a ministerial order to amend this schedule, which defines which employees are covered by the Act. In other words, the widening of this coverage of employees will be dealt with outside the amendment bill. So you don't actually see this in the bill itself. However, we also have not seen the ministerial order, so we don't know the scope of the order and what are the conditions that will be imposed. So it is still likely that the order will include some limitations on which part of the Act will apply to which employees, because if the Act is made to apply to all employees without limitation, this will also have other repercussions. For example, it could mean that highly paid managers, CEOs, CFOs will all be entitled to overtime, which I don't think that is the intention of Parliament as well. So in my view, I think the amendments, the scope of employees covered should have been put in the bill itself, as it would have given a lot better clarity to employers and employees about their new rights and obligations.
So I'm curious, why wasn't it then?
I don't know. I think it was mentioned before Parliament that they do want to do it through the ministerial order. Previously, though, in the past proposals, when there was a proposal to increase the coverage, this amendment to the schedule was reflected in the bill itself, but this particular round, it wasn't.
So how would you assess these latest round of amendments? You know, does this put us on par with other regions in terms of our labour protection standards, or are there still gaps that aren't addressed by these new changes?
Right. The proposal for the 98 days maternity leave, which is 14 weeks, is in line with the recommendations by the International Labour Organization. So this is definitely a good move. For paternity leave, under the amendments, fathers will be entitled to 7 days of paid paternity leave for the first 5 children. Regionally, this puts us somewhere in the middle, I would say. Some countries like Indonesia, they only offer 2 days of paid paternity leave for private sector employees, while other countries like Philippines, Vietnam and Myanmar, they offer up to 14 or 15 days, even subject to certain conditions. So paternity leave in those countries are offered in different ways. For example, some of the leave is fully paid, some is on reduced pay, and some even allow maternity leave to be transferred and shared with fathers as part of the paternity leave. So on other aspects of the amendments, I think there is room for improvement, definitely. For example, the sexual harassment updates only require an employer to put up a notice to raise awareness on sexual harassment. There are no details of what should be inside this notice. So it does seem a little bit like a lip service provision.
And do these latest amendments actually even address the issues of discrimination? You know, do they cover all the grounds such as gender, religion, race, disability, marital status, pregnancy, for example?
Previously, the proposals for amendments did specifically define what are protected traits. So they listed it as gender, religion, race, disability, language, marital status, and pregnancy. But other traits like sexual orientation and age were not mentioned. But in these current amendments, this round, they do provide an avenue for employment discrimination complaints, but they don't define what is discrimination and what are the traits that are being protected. So the amendments only use the phrase discrimination in employment, and this can be viewed positively or negatively. Mm. On one hand, if you don't list the specific protected traits, it means you have a wider room for interpretation of what is discrimination. And you could potentially include traits that were previously left out in the earlier proposal, such as what I mentioned, sexual orientation or age. But on the other hand, without defining specifically what are the traits, there's also going to be uncertainty as to what exactly is considered discrimination in employment.
And who will have the power to determine what that scope of discrimination is? Would it be the Director General of Labour or would it be the courts? Where will this guidance come from?
Currently, the amendments do provide that the person who has the power to determine the dispute would be the Director General.
I'm also curious, from what you've just told us in the last 5 minutes, Donovan, it seems like this bill has been watered down in terms of its scope and definition. Do you think that's a fair assessment of it?
Yeah, I do think that's quite fair. If you looked at the proposals that were first made, I think sometime back in 2018, there were, I guess, larger provisions and a little bit more descriptions about certain things, especially the discrimination provisions. You know, there were these definitions. And at one point also, they did include pre-employment discrimination, but that was also eventually taken out.
So is this a case of insufficient discussion with all the stakeholders, be it trade unions, employees, or is it the powers of the employers this time getting their voices heard a little bit more?
Yeah, I think if you can see from the commentary that has come out after the bill was announced that it has been passed, you know, at the Dewan Rakyat, I think you can see that some of the different stakeholders are feeling that their interests have not been properly taken into account. I think there are gaps in the bill and the way that it is currently being done, especially like what I mentioned, the expansion of coverage of employees. I think that could have been better dealt with and discussed because the implications are quite wide ranging.
Okay, but this is not the final bit, right? Because what you have said is that there will be some amendments, or at least the minister will cover some of the portions of the bill which should have been covered. But do we have any sense in terms of what the exceptions are going to be like? Because that's where you get into the grey area.
Yes, currently I don't know, because based on what happened at the second reading of this bill, what was mentioned by the Deputy Minister for Human Resources was that there is a draft order that's being prepared by the Minister to explain what is the widening of this scope, and that this widening also will be subject to certain conditions or syarat tertentu, but there was no further details at this stage.
And I'm also curious, what are the penalties involved if the company doesn't adhere to these new terms under this bill?
All right. There are specific penalties for certain provisions. For example, maternity protection. If you don't comply with this as an employer, you can be punished with a fine not exceeding RM10,000 ringgit for per offence. For other provisions, there is a general penalty. Previously, it was 10,000 ringgit, but now it has been proposed to increase to 50,000 ringgit per offence.
Donovan, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Donovan Chia, partner at Donovan and Ho, breaking down the amendments to the Employment Act and the implications that this has for Malaysian employees, including you and me. Phil, you've been listening to this conversation. What were your takeaways from this?
I mean, I'm just struck by the whole point that it's been watered down and that the scope is so limited and it's contingent on the ministerial order to expand the scope. I don't understand the process for that. Why can't you just make that clear in the legislation up front and rely on the minister, you know, and need to get a ministerial order later. That is what I'm a bit baffled with. I mean, I think the 2,000 ringgit level then seems very arbitrary then. There's no basis for that.
Yeah, what worries me also is that I'm not sure how it works. So this minister has a ministerial order. Does it mean that if there's another minister, he can come up with his own ministerial order? Isn't the workers' protection, it needs to be legislated in a very clear,
enshrined,
rather than it being allowed to be flexible?
Well, still lots of questions on employee protections. We'll be following this as developments continue to unfold. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.